Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. The man is making an incredible recovery from his hip surgery. He'll be ready for mini camp, training camp, his big birthday bash, which we can't wait to discuss in detail. Very special birthday coming up for the Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And Ira, the Memorial Day sale at Bill Curry Ford is stunning. We got 0% flying all over town, and that 0% interest, something for everyone. 0% financing for up to 72 months, plus $20,000 off select models, up to 20 grand off. Unbelievable. Ira, how are you?
You know, Steve, you hit it on the head. Mandatory minicamp coming up in like 3 weeks. And I feel pressure, Steve. I haven't been out there. And I actually miss one buck place. Yes, I do. Even the guy that guards the gate, nice guy, Mike, always put a big smile letting me in. And surely in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll feel more than enough confidence to go out there and join Lee and see what the hell Graham Barton's doing out there. And if he's working with the second team or the first team, and as long as they keep him at center, Steve, I'm a happy camper. I can't wait for mandatory minicamp. Now, Lee, as you know, they take 5 weeks off. The coaches probably take a month off, but the players take 5 or 6 weeks off. And then all of a sudden we're into training camp. The numbers are all over the board on the 2024 Bucks, Lee, but this is not a bad football team. Is it a championship team? I don't think so, but it's not a bad football team. If I had to bet right now, I think they pull off another division title.
And that wouldn't surprise me, by the way. And I got to give credit to some guy on Twitter by the handle of Captain Tim, I think. Captain Buck. Somebody. There was a Captain Tim, that longtime commenter on Joe Buck's Fan. He goes way back to the infancy days of JoeBucksFan.com. But anyway, this guy, he brought it to my attention and Steve's attention that Kirk Cousins, you know, everybody's hailing the Falcons for, signing Kirk Cousins, and he's the final piece of the puzzle to give them a Super Bowl run. He's won a grand total of one division title.
No question about it. Now, Lee, I got to be honest. Steve might take exception to this. Doesn't take much for Steve to disagree with one of my comments. But, Lee, I got to be honest. All things being equal, health-wise, all things being equal, Cousins has a better resume than Baker Mayfield. I mean, we can't argue with that.
No, not at all. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback. I'm just saying the way people are falling over themselves, like they're about ready to get, they're about ready to book Atlanta to wherever they're going to play the Super Bowl. Like, oh, Kirk Cousins, I seem to recall he had an Achilles injury last year. I seem to recall he was 36 years old, and I don't put him in the same stratosphere as Aaron Rodgers or even Jordan Love, for that matter. He's a good quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Pat Mahomes. I mean, let's calm down a little bit on this Kirk Cousins. Gee,
you're right. Chris. And, Steve, I got to think the Falcons will handle him very gingerly in training camp, Steve, with the idea of having him ready. And, of course, the Bucs will see him twice. What is it, in a 3-week or 4-week stretch? 2 games against Atlanta, one of them on a Thursday night in Atlanta. Steve, he's a good quarterback. Lee's right. Is he elite? I wouldn't go that far.
You're right. I am going to smack you around a little bit quickly here, but not too bad and not on everything. But I do have to tell everybody, only Bill Curry Ford doubles the military rebate on a purchase of a new Ford. They're very close with the first responders as well, who also get that same rebate. And just a tremendous Memorial Day sales event through the end of the month. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He is the GM of Bill Curry Ford. In case that's confusing, you can ask him directly for the Ira Kaufman discount. And that's on top of everything we've mentioned. And of course, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. They're the biggest with their redesigned, reimagined dealership of the future that is open, biggest service drive in the country. It's an extraordinary place a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, you said that the predictions for the Bucks are all over the board. First, I really haven't picked up on that. I think it's pretty tight, actually. I think most people are saying between 7 and 10 wins. Now that's a big difference in the sense of, you know, one's a sad season and one's a good season, but I don't think the win loss total is too far apart.
Steve, Bucks fans, they think they're going to win 11 or 12. I think that's high cotton. That's difficult. Well, you're playing the final four teams that finished last season. You're playing all of them: Detroit, Niners, you know, Chiefs, and.
Say just to clarify, I meant when I said I was talking about kind of national analysts, I'd say Bucks fans, most of them fall between 9 and 11 wins.
You're right, Steve. They got most national people have them between 7 or 10. But Lee, that's a big jump. Lee, you win 7, you're not going to win a division. You win 10, you're probably going to win the NFC South. It's a good team. They got some holes, as you point out, Lee, starting with the pass rush, and of course, ranking right behind that, and in my opinion, Lee, ahead of it, you don't agree, is the terrible running game. Let me digress, Lee, for 1 second. I gotta do a shout-out to Isbitz. I don't do it too often, but I got to give him credit. It also shows Steve that I read my columns after they're posted. I did the column on Chris Godwin in the middle of the con, and I, you know, the main point, Lee, I've said it before, get the man into the end zone. Get him in the end zone. He's too good. He's too good to have 5 touchdown catches over the last 2 seasons combined. Not each, combined. That's not acceptable, Lee. And then I talked about, you know, this crazy idea they had of moving him outside. I didn't understand it, Lee. I still don't. And again, like you said, don't mess with something that's working. And then, Lee, as I used, I said, it's not the first time they've done it. I used as an example, Ali Marpet. Lee, remember when they moved him to center?
A 6-year crawl.
Yeah, and then he got hurt at the end of the year. And then the next year, they went out and got Jensen and made him the highest paid center and moved him back to guard. And I left it at that. And then I read the column and there's Isbitz, and he throws in the Antoine Winfield, moving him to, slot corner a couple of years ago. That was an excellent move, Steve. I appreciate it. I forgot all about it. Lee, on this general topic, why do they mess with these guys, Lee? Why do they mess with good players?
Ego. That's the best way I can come with ego. And I've always said this in the past. Never underestimate ego in the NFL. My favorite example is Lovie Smith. He may have been one of the worst Bucs coaches in history. His record proves that. I think he was probably the worst since Lehman Bennett. But boy, that guy thought he invented the game. Don't you dare ever question Lovie Smith. He would get all bent out of shape. You know, how dare you? Who are you? Who are you? What have you done? And I think that's it. You know, they think they can reinvent the game, some of these guys. Their ego is so massive. I really believe that.
Ira, it's kind of like writers and radio people who insist on doing video. Sorry, don't mess with what you're maybe pretty good at. And, it happens all the time. And of course, that's ego-driven, too. And we see it in a lot of industries. But I don't know, Sage, want to throw this past you, though. Kirk Cousins, what I think everybody forgets, he was 0-3 last year with his own team and his own offense and talent around him. So I don't forget that he started out 0-3. And a lot of people love him. A lot of this hype is tied to that Netflix quarterback series. He came off as a hell of a worker and an interesting guy and a guy you could root for. So that's some of the fuel here. I don't know if you guys saw it. I saw it. It was very interesting.
Of course, Steve, part of the 0-3 start was the loss to the Bucs in week 1.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I pulled it up just for fun, just to counteract the craziness out there. You know, the Falcons open with the Steelers, who are 5-2-1 in their last 8 road games to open a season. The last 8 times they played week 1 on the road, they're 5-2-1. The only 2 losses were to Tom Brady. So I think Mike Tomlin, that, as Lee would say, that's not a coincidence. He has the team completely ready to win in week 1 on the road. And then Atlanta takes on the Eagles and the Chiefs. They could be 0-3, Ira. How about that?
No question about it. And, you know, I thought the Falcon defense, Lee, for most of last season, I thought they played over their heads. They had a good defensive coordinator. I think they got a new one now this year.
Yeah, Raheem Morris.
Yeah, he's not going to be better than the other guy. And they lost some guys. I don't know what's going on with Calais Campbell. I don't know if he's back in Atlanta, but he's a tremendous locker room guy. I don't like the Falcon defense. I don't like it on paper. I think they played over their heads last year. They got weapons. Look, they got, you know, they got 2 good backs, and they, you know, I like their targets. Lee, my point about Cousins is very simple. Whatever you think of him, when the season ends, his final numbers are good. Lee, they're good. You know, it's like
he's not a bad quarterback. He's just, I just don't put him in the same category as Josh Allen or like Matt Stafford or, you know, elite quarterbacks. I just don't. He's a good quarterback, but I mean, when has he put the Vikings on his back and made a Super Bowl run? I haven't seen it. And he's going to a lesser team than the Vikings, so I don't know. I just don't understand it. And another thing I don't understand, Ivor, I want your feedback on this. I include this in a lot of articles because I just think that people who cover the NFL for a living either have an axe to grind with Baker Mayfield or they really think he's a horrible quarterback. Because, you know, you see that, you know, they think, you know, all these predictions and stuff, and the Bucs are way down there. I'm like, gee, I could have swore they were in the divisional round and they were tied in the fourth quarter with the Lions. Was I drunk that day? Did I go through some weird dream? And then I was reading Warren Sharp's, it was Warren Sharp's website, Sharp Football Analysis, and this guy Summerlin is his name, and he did a power rankings. He had every team that advanced to a divisional round last year, every team in his top 10, except for one. Guess which one that was? The Bucks. He had them at 23rd. Like, and the only thing I could think of, you know, I looked at the other teams, and, like, they have a quarterback you would consider good. You're like, hey, what do you think of Jordan Love? Oh, he's good. And that's the only thing I could think of that, you know, Baker Mayfield essentially is going to have to, 2 years in a row, I'm guessing, lead the Bucks to deep playoff runs before people start respecting the guy.
I think some of these pundits were so shocked by Mayfield's play last fall, they can't admit to themselves he was a tremendous pickup by the Bucks. They can't get around to it and acknowledge it. Now, will he do it again? Maybe. He certainly got a hell of a wide receiver tandem to work with. And as far as catching the ball, you can't do better than Rashad White out of the backfield. If the O-line, takes a step up, and yes, Lee, and if the running game's a little bit better, I think Mayfield could be even more effective. Steve, he's in the upper half of quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion. Is he top five? Absolutely not. He's in the upper half, and, you know, he got the job done. So give him his due, and let's see what happens with a better running game.
It's just not enough people that give him his due. He does get his due in a lot of spots, I think. But, you know, it's not as widespread as you would think for considering the year, considering his name as far as being well-known, and considering, where the Bucks advanced and what the predictions were. You know, it's not enough people wanting to say, you know what, I got it wrong with Baker Mayfield. The Cousins thing makes it worse for Mayfield, I think, in some ways, because everybody's on that Cousins bandwagon. And, you know, we don't like to say it. Nobody wants to admit it because we hate them so much. But the Saints, they were 9-8 last year and smacked around the Bucks late in the season. You know, the Saints feel like, man, the Bucks got that far and we were better than they were. That's a team that's quietly being ignored. And the Bucks, I think, are being ignored to a degree because of Todd Bowles. That's what nobody wants to say. The guy's not popular among his own fan base, relatively speaking, for a coach that has won two division titles in a row. And, you know, not a popular guy on the national scene.
Well, I would put Dennis Allen maybe in the same category.
Yeah, yeah, people don't like him either.
They want to run that guy out. Yeah, I think that's two different elements there. I mean, Dennis Allen's despised in New Orleans. I don't think people despise Bowles. I think he's won a lot of people over. But last year at this time, there was a whole lot of grumbling about Bowles. But not like Dennis Allen. I don't think Dennis Allen can go to the gumbo shop and not get heckled.
Lee, here's a big difference between the Saints and Bucks, in my opinion. And I think it's critical. The Saints are old.
Yeah.
A lot of key players, they're old. Kamara looks old. I'm not sure about his age, but he's looking old. He's playing old. Cameron Jordan, Lee, he was lousy last year. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he's done.
He might be done. He's 33, 34.
Putting up Joe Tryon numbers, honest to goodness.
Yeah, he was a hell of a player, Lee, in his prime.
He
was. One of the few guys, Lee, that beat Tristan Wirfs cleanly when Wirfs was on the right side. He didn't give anything up, and Jordan got him a couple of times, and it was stunning. You know, because it was legitimate. Lee, they're old. Derek Carr, Kamara, Lattimore. you know, the Bucks have a lot of young pieces in critical positions. I think that's a big difference between those two teams.
Speaking of done, Lattimore might be done.
He doesn't look like the same player. Like, he just
doesn't. No. I read a report last week where the Saints were really troubled about, I mean, I can't remember what injury he had. I'm sure Steve knows. But his recovery, I guess it wasn't that good, and it really spooked the Saints. There was actually some discussion that they ought to let him go or not. And I read this last week.
Steve, the Saints always have a good offensive line, especially when Breeze was there. I don't know if that's the case anymore, Steve. They got a couple of decent guys up front, but Ramchek, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, they drafted the big left tackle with their first round pick. They were very happy to get Kool-Aid in the second round. A lot of people liked him for the Bucs in the first round. They've got talent. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten 9-8. I mean, their defense was better than the Bucs was last year. And, you know, I don't see them as a bad team. But, no, they don't have the same level of youth. And I don't think Derek Carr is the same quarterback that Mayfield is. And they're still experimenting with, you know, with that offense and trying to make it decent. They added a couple of pass rushers, you know, and Jordan may be rushing inside a little bit this year because of who they added. But they have talent to beat you on any day, but I don't think they're special. But from a Bucs perspective, they're a talented team, and those teams hate each other. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, Steve, I don't disagree. They look like an 8 or 9 win team. Plus, they had some injuries last year and won 9 games. You're right. Lee, I want to bring up a point about the Bucs that I think should be a priority. You know me with the running game, and of course you with the pass rush, and we're both right in our own way. In researching the Godwin story, I found another problem. And I think Liam Cohn, I think he's got to drill down on this, Lee. It's a big one. They're not good in the red zone, Lee. They're not good. I think part of it is they don't run the ball in the red zone. You know, 5 rushing touchdowns, 8 rushing touchdowns. That stinks. That's awful. Now, part of it is, Lee, they don't have Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen. I understand that. You know, that's a cheap 12 touchdowns you're getting on the ground. I understand that. But other teams that don't have running quarterbacks manage to rush for touchdowns. But, Lee, what's going on in the red zone? Godwin was horrible last year, inside the 20. Really bad numbers. You know, 5 for 16 and 1 touchdown catch. Even Evans, Lee, now he caught 5 touchdowns, Lee, in the red zone, but he was 5 for 14. I mean, that's 10 for 30 throwing for Evans and Godwin inside the 20. You know, Lee, I'm not great at math, but that's 33%. What have you noticed about the red zone, and do you think it is a problem?
I applaud the Bucs for not running in the end zone because they can't run. So right. why would anybody expect they could run in the red zone when they can't run, period? So I applaud them for that. And maybe part of it is tight end, although Kate Otten came around late in the season, but I don't think they have. And Kate Otten's tight, for lack of a better term. He's an average tight end. I don't think he'll ever be a Pro Bowler. I hope he does, but I don't see it. So maybe that's it. You know, they really don't have a decent tight end. Well, they have a decent tight end, but they don't have a good tight end. Let's put it that way. What troubles me more than the red zone is they haven't scored an opening drive touchdown all year last year. That's got to stop.
Say that again, Lee.
They did not score a touchdown in the opening drive all season long. And that's really inexcusable. When those drives are largely scripted, and those scripts are largely based, A, on your game plan, B, on your film study of the opposing defense. So I don't know what Cohn was missing there. I used to get on Raheem Morris for the same thing, only defensively. And in the second half, when Raheem was Bucs coach, second half they played a lot better defense. First half, he got schooled all the time, specifically in the first quarter. To me, that's lack of preparation. So I don't know what Cohn was doing there, but that's bad.
I mean, Canales.
Maybe two or three other teams that didn't score in the first drive. Do you remember the Giants?
Giants might have been one. They were not playoff teams.
Steve, when I saw the list that Lee had of the teams that did not score an opening drive touchdown, I think there were 3 or 4. Overall, they all had lousy offenses. All of them. So no coincidence there, Steve.
I thought the key to that situation is the Rams were among the best in the league. at that. And that's the system where, and I went back in some years, and they've always been good at that. The Rams had 6 touchdowns on opening drives last year. The 49ers led the league with 10. And so if Cohen can bring that to the Bucs and better preparation, better feel, you know, then that's going to be a bonus, you would think. Maybe gives the Todd Bowles defense a little more flexibility to in what he wants to do if he's playing with a lead, and use some of those tools that he has and his creativity more. But it is something that has to end. But yeah, those numbers you pulled up on the red zone, Ira, they're stunning, and you could make a lot of excuses, but it's just it's not good enough, and it's a big part of what has to change. Sage, FloridasElitereStoration.com, FloridasElitereStoration.com. That's where you go now, not when you have a problem, when you have mold or storm damage, you can go there then. But if you go now, then you're prepared. You know who to call. Great local company servicing the entire Bay Area. They are top shelf. You can look them up online. Amazing reviews, amazing quality. FloridasElitereStoration.com. You'll get a free assessment, evaluation of your problem 24/7 at your property with the best technology. And then if you need their services, then you move forward from there. They'll battle with your insurance company for you. They'll fight for you so you don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration. They've got that Sage discount, Ira. All you have to do is call, mention Ira. And if you need the services, they give you $500 back. How about that, Ira?
You know, it's just unbelievable what Josh and his people, the initiatives that they come up with. And Steve, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope the pundits are wrong. But I don't know if you guys noticed it, but they always come out with these hurricane predictions. Now, look, it's very difficult, you know, 3 months out. But we are entering hurricane season, technically. Although, to me, it's always August and September, almost always. And it looks like a rough year. I hope we're wrong, you know, with all these named storms and everything. Lee, we don't need anything hitting Pasco and Hernando County or Pinellas. Josh could be a busy man, and you couldn't have anybody better attending to your needs than Florida's Elite Restoration.
Florida's Elite.
Is he still playing with Tigers?
No question about it.
Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, Ira. Hey, you know, some of this chatter surrounding the Bucs, Dan Pompey and some other people I've heard as well. Dan Pompey circled that week 2 game against the Lions as a, you know, big, big thing in the Bucs season and a big must win or must compete level game for the Bucs. I don't see it that way at all. I think you could go there, get blown out in September, and it means absolutely nothing. And in some ways, and obviously I want the team to win, but in some ways, that can be a good thing to get a slap in the face early and reset yourself, check yourself, and grind on the things you need to do to improve and, you know, hope to face them in the playoffs again. What's your thought there?
I'm with you, Steve. And that's kind of why the Commanders game, the opener, to me, is important. That's a game you need to win, Lee. Not week 2. The Lions are going to be favored by 7, if not more, in that game, and they deserve to. I know the Bucs played them tough, and it was tied in the fourth quarter, but they dominated the fourth quarter. Detroit, and they deserve to win, even with that no timeout by Bowles, which Buck fans are still pissed off about. Just like they don't forget that defense against Cooper Kupp, right, Lee?
Exactly.
In that game. They don't forget that. But the Lions are the better team. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bucs wanted four in Ford Field, but I'd be very surprised. But you don't want to go 0-2, Lee. There's a difference. 1-1 and 0-2. 1-1, you're okay. 0-2, here we go again. Slow start. You know, last year, 4-7. They managed to overcome it, but Lee, you're playing with dynamite when you do that.
Yeah.
So go handle Jaden Daniels, slap him around a little bit, show him what the NFL is really like, and then go to Detroit and take your chances with confidence. Don't lose to the Commanders and then try to upset the Lions. That's a problem.
Yeah, 0-2. The percentages are not good for teams that start 0-2 and make the playoffs. It's not good. Are the Lions, Ira? And I wrote this. Are the Lions sort of the new Eagles and Saints? What I mean by that is, you know, back in the early aughts, the Bucs could not get past the Eagles. That was their bugaboo. That was their speed bump. They couldn't navigate the Eagles. Then lo and behold, they play them in the NFC Championship game. Boom. Thank you, Rondé Barber. They win. They go on and win the Super Bowl the next week. The Saints, a few years ago, they just stomped the Bucs. Game after game, they stomp the Bucs, and the Bucs go over to play them in New Orleans, oddly enough, in the playoffs, and the Bucs beat them, and 3 weeks later, the Bucs are holding a Vince Lombardi trophy. Are the Lions the new Eagles and Saints? And the only difference there is I don't get the impression that Bucks fans hate the Lions. They do hate the Saints. They do hate the Eagles. I don't get that same vitriol with the Lions.
I like that distinction, Lee. I'm very high on Detroit. I like the coach. People were laughing at him 2-3 years ago. Who's this guy? He doesn't belong in the league. I love the culture that he's created. And more importantly, Steve, they got a lot of talent. And if they could find another pass rusher somehow with what they drafted and free agency and anybody that they pick up late to help out Hutchinson on one side, that is a very dangerous team. I see Carlton Davis flapping his lips a little bit in Motown. I think they got a hell of a team. Steve, I think you could argue they should have beat the 49ers. They were slapping them around all the first half on the road, and then their inexperience showed. They weren't quite ready to make the leap. Steve, I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit's in a Super Bowl. So as far as I don't think it's a natural rival with the Bucks. I think you're going to find that maybe 49ers, Lions become, if they're certainly if they meet again in an NFC championship game, that'll be a big rivalry, like 49ers, Cowboys in the early 90s. I like the Lions, not because they got Carlton Davis, Steve, but they draft very, very well over there, Steve. They know what they're doing.
I don't think it's a natural rivalry either. It might get there, and it could. Those things can change quickly. I mean, you could have a hell of a game in week two with the Bucks winning in overtime, and all of a sudden you've got one hell of a rivalry that's sort of been cemented. But I don't think it's. We still need to see more with that. And yeah, Detroit's a good team. They've paid their players. They seem to be primed on a good run, and you know it's the crowd's going to be loud as ever. I haven't looked yet to see if that's their home opener. I'm hoping that it isn't, but if it is, that's going to make it even crazier. But the Bucks won't be intimidated. Should be a good game. I hope Tom Brady's on the call for that game. That would be a...
Hold on, Steve. Lee, one thing I've noticed, and the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. For whatever reason, and I'm surprised because the guy's not really mobile. Lee, Jared Goff eats up Todd Bowles' defense. I don't know what's going on, but he kills him. They can't stop that guy. He gets 30 completions every time they play Goff, whether he's with the Rams or Detroit. He's got Tampa's number.
That's a good point. He does well against Todd Bowles' defense. He really does.
Well, let's see if Todd Bowles can have a pass rush. When I talked about the Saints, I avoided mentioning that they added Chase Young for a big wild card for $13 million. If he has 13 sacks, Ira, we might have to institutionalize Lee. We might have to...
you know what? I'm not that high on Chase Young, Lee. I'm not a big believer.
He's never recovered from that knee injury.
No, he has.
And you can make the argument he never recovered from shooting off his mouth about how he was going to bury Tom Brady in the playoffs. And Donovan Smith stonewalled him.
Was it Smith or worse? I can't remember.
Smith.
No, it was Donovan Smith, the 2020 season.
Smith.
Okay. Chase Young limped against Donovan Smith. And matter of fact, I can't remember who Washington played to end the season, but he coming off the field after the regular season was over, shooting off his mouth. I want Brady. And Donovan Smith owned his rear end.
Yeah, it's kind of like those guys in the media room who just skip around Ira saying, I want Kaufman. It never works. Never works.
Steve, by the way, is Donovan Smith still out there as a free agent?
Still a free agent. So Super Bowl champ with the Chiefs, and he you know, he's not going to play cheap. He's made so much money in his 9 years or whatever, he's not going to play cheap, but we'll see where he lands, and I'm sure he has no interest in going to an off-season program. So
yeah. There's
that. Ira, before we get out of here, a few things, and I have one piece of news for you, so don't check out if you're listening to The Sage. While Lee was talking, I did look it up. One of the 9 teams that went 0-2 last year, 1 out of 9, made the playoffs. Can you guess who that is?
1 out of 9. Jeez. Minnesota?
Nope, Minnesota did not make the playoffs.
Okay. What do we got? What do we got, Lee? What do we got?
0-2 made the playoffs last year, 1 of 9.
Not Pittsburgh. Green Bay. They started out like 6-8. I'd say Green Bay.
Answer is the Texans.
Oh. Whoa.
So that's it. Just illustrates you got to have a good start. Percentage-wise, I remember reading last year, it's gotten a little easier only because of the 17th game. So it's kind of changed a little bit, but it's still a long haul from 0-2. Of course, usually you start 0-2 because you have serious problems and they don't really go away. But just to read off those teams super quick, you have got the Cardinals, Bears, Texans, Panthers, Broncos, Patriots, Chargers, Vikings, and the Bengals. So there you go. All right, Ira, we want to thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. So many great offers. And we heard from our friends at Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Plan today for a disaster so you don't get stuck and don't know what to do. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage, the Bucks have had three OTAs so far, three spring practices. Now, only one was open to the media. And in past years, sometimes they'd have you know, one of those reporters from Buccaneers.com. Sometimes in the past, they've let him sneak in and watch those other days that media doesn't get to watch and write a little report, but not this time. They didn't even put up pictures, from what I saw, dated on the website for those other 2 days. So they're really sort of shrouding in mystery on day two and day three. So that meant I had to pick up the phone and make some calls and say, well, who actually plays well on these days, you know, because it's easy to get misled. Oh, somebody, you know, has two picks on day one, and then the next 2 days he looks like Sabby Piscatelli out there, and nobody knows because the media can't watch. So I put in the calls, Ira, and the answer I got back was the two guys absolutely shining above all others, relatively speaking, the rookies, Tyke Smith and Mr. Chris Braswell. That bodes very well, Ira.
Oh, I love that, Steve. I thought you were going to say the running back, the rookie running back. Lee, I kind of like the shroud of mystery for what it implies. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. But, Lee, what it might mean is that they're implementing some new schemes that we haven't seen around these parts. They don't really want them publicized. Now, Lee, we're going to see them in training camp, unless they bar the media from training camp. And by the way, have we heard about the Bucks policy towards the rank-and-file Buck fans towards this 2024 training camp? Have we heard anything, Lee?
Not yet. That usually comes out sometime in June.
We're hoping for a change of policy. We've been strong on that. We will continue to be. But, Steve, I don't mind the shroud of secrecy because maybe Liam Cohn's putting in some new stuff, and that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't mind the secrecy either. I was just happy to hear those rookies who could make a big impact, potentially. They're shining, you know. It might have been nice to hear other people were over the edge, shining brighter than others, but I'll take it with the rookies. What do you think, Lee?
I'm dubious about the Chris Braswell report, only because it's underwear football. You can't hit. You can't hit. So, I mean, how are we going to judge an outside linebacker who's supposed to rush the passer if they can't hit? I mean, you know, that also means the offensive line can't hit. So you can't block guys. You know, it's like saying, oh, running back looked good in underwear football. Well, no kidding. Nobody's allowed to hit him. They can't touch him. We better look good. So, but the Tyke Smith, fans get frustrated about this, and I don't blame them. I get frustrated because underwear football is very deceitful. Deceiving. Yes, it's deceitful. Yeah. So, in that respect, you really can't judge. It's flag football. Smith is practicing well. That, to me, is good because you can play good defense as in secondary in flag football and underwear football. Otherwise, you can't hit. And so I don't know how you could judge an offensive lineman or an outside linebacker when you can't hit. I mean, if they were allowed to hit, would it be looking good? If so, that's a different story. It's great. But I'm a little dubious on that. But it's great to hear about Tyke Smith.
Steve, I think Lee's right on this now without having seen Braswell and Smith personally. I think Lee's instincts are right. Steve, I would put more stock in this kid from Georgia. And if I had to lay money right now, Steve, I think he wins the nickel job. Was Izzy in terrible? No, he wasn't. But I like the versatility of this guy. Remember I said losing Shaq Barrett, and let's see what happens with the pass rush. I said maybe they'll use Winfield more. I forgot about this guy, Smith. Steve, he could be a guy that you pick your spots and you send him in on the blitz. I think he's that talented, Steve. I think he's that versatile. I think he's going to be on the field about 70% of the time for the Bucs.
Well, wow. Sage, you sort of forgot what you forgot, if that makes sense, because you said after the draft that you thought Smith could do all these things, and I have the audio of you saying you believe he's going to turn out to be the Buccaneers' best draft pick, and I slapped you around for that, saying, man, if Barton's not, we may have a problem here, but you were firm on that, and yes, he can blitz. There's plenty of video of him doing that well in Georgia, but just wanted to throw it out there. Lee brought us back to reality. It's underwear football. you know, a shining edge rusher is sort of running against air, and you know, it's kind of fun, but that's what we have in May. All right, Ira, we are out of here, and I do want to remind everybody that you said about the training camp practices being open to the public. I will say, Ira, although it was an off-the-record conversation, we were pretty firm. You were there. Maybe you weren't. I don't remember. It's all a bit of a blur, but I know I was pretty firm with Joel Glazer on this issue at the owners' meetings. We had a discussion about it, and I think the Buccaneers have a good handle on what reality is, and I think we might see a change, but I'm not sure.
You know, Steve, we're really the only ones in the media that are bringing this up. Some people say it's no factor. What do you guys care? It's a Buck decision. Yeah, it's a Buck decision, Lee, but the name of this thing is Joe Bucks Fan. You know, if we're going to be accused of taking the perspective of Buccaneer supporters, so be it, Lee. I'm not going to shy away from that.
Nor should we. And, you know, if you're insinuating about what's left of newspapers, I was brought up in journalism school that you're supposed to be an advocate for your readers. So I would think that would be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Steve, you said you had a surprise. You got a surprise?
No, I don't have a surprise. I just wanted to bring that up because I hadn't mentioned it yet. You know, on the fan front there. So that's all. Yeah,
What's the thing about my birthday, Steve? I don't know anything about it. You're keeping me in the dark. We're a couple of months away. You're really getting me excited over here.
Well, we had to make sure you recovered from your hip surgery, you know, that we didn't lose you, and or you had one leg. We'd have to change our plans if you had to lose your leg or something. But, you know it's a big birthday, a memorable birthday coming up for you in August, and we're going to do something fun about that. So announcements in good time, Ira.
You're going to invite Jameis or Jameis 1-1-1? Are they invited, Steve?
All right, Ira, we're out of here. Are you going to the beach? You're not going to the beach. You're sitting at
the
pool.
I'm not going to the beach. I'm not allowed to swim, Steve, for another month. I got the pool all set, and I can't go in. How do you like that?